right. Stick it on. Stick it on. Okay, well, he's putting my PowerPoint up there. Ooh, I have sound. Huh? Wonderful. Tell you a little story, and then we'll get into preaching, real stuff, all right? So there were two men. They're out sailing on the ocean, and a storm came up, and they got shipwrecked on an island. The minute they got onto the island, the one man started to scream and to yell. He says, "We're going to die. We're going to die. We're all going to die." He says, "There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die." Second man propped himself up against a palm tree and acted very calmly. And it drove the other guy crazy. He says, "Don't you understand?" He says, "We're going to die." The second man says, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week." Second man says, "You're crazy. You're really crazy. What difference does that make? We're on an island with no food, no water. We're going to die." Second man answered, You don't get it. I make $100,000 a week. I tithe 10% of that to my church. My pastor is going to find me." All right. Are we up? All right. Did you hear that, Bill? No, sorry, wherever you are. Now, I want to share a message this morning on prayer. This may not seem like it at first, but generally when we think of prayer, we are thinking, I'm speaking of Luke chapter 8, the sower and the seed, by the way. When we think of prayer, we're generally thinking of communication with God. All right, so it's any form, petition, intercession, supplication, forms of entreaty, thanksgiving, confession. There's various forms of prayer mentioned in the scripture. These forms all have one thing in common. They're basically, we're wanting God to hear our prayers, all right? So when prayer is communication with God, we want God to hear that. But we have to realize God also wants us to hear Him. Prayer is two-sided. We tend to think of prayer from our perspective because that's kind of what we're used to. Now, the English word communication is actually from the Latin communicare. Communicare simply means to make something in common, to have an interchange or thought back and forth. That's what it means. So, in other words, it's two-way. Communication is two-way. All right? So, a relationship with God is always... it's always about us hearing God, and it's also about us participating in Him. Now, I know He hears a lot from me, perhaps you too, because I use these various forms of communication to pray and ask God for His direction. So I petition Him, I intercede for others, I give my thanksgivings, I make lots of confessions, all right, and I'm including all of that, all as a part of my direction up here, up there. But this morning, I want to look at the other side of prayer, which we probably don't think of that much. So we are going to examine prayer from God's side of the communication process. All right? And so I'm going to take you through that. Now, I find myself having to go back to the basics. When you talk about prayer, prayer is one of the most basic things in Scripture. So I'm going to come back to some pretty basic things, and this parable that Jesus tells of the sower and the seed is one of the most well-known parables in the New Testament. So I want to speak to you on the subject of prayer through Luke chapter 8. So let's just read this for a second. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told His parable to them. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up, and it choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When He said this, He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So, Father, I'm asking this morning for ears to hear what this word and this passage, common to us, known to us, but I ask You to give us listening ears this morning to hear what You're saying by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the importance of hearing God speak. I want to talk about that for a bit. This is hearing God's word. We can't actually understand God's word without the Holy Spirit. And so he starts off by Jesus saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Jesus says that the seed is the word of God. That sort of stuff that we know, we already know that. We assume by that it has to do with the written word. All right, and so we could easily, however, hear the word of God through the Holy Spirit, because he's also the word. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 7-11, and more often, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So we know that the Holy Spirit is also speaking this morning along with the word of God. Now, I'll just give you a little bit of Greek lesson here. I hope I don't lose you in this, all right? This is what's called a double continuous, all right? He who has ears. So has he got your attention? Point your ears. Everybody got ears? All right, you have ears. All right. So that means you have the capacity to hear at that level. Then it says in the Greek, literally, to hear, let him hear. So there's two phrases here, perfect, present infinitive active and the present imperative active. So he's basically saying, if you're going to hear, you have to hear. You have to listen. You have to pay attention. So the use of this double imperative or double words is for emphasis. He's trying to get a point across. In the English, you're not going to see it, but in the Greek, it's there. So Jesus says this, are you constantly listening? Are you constantly perceiving? Are you constantly seeing? Are you constantly hearing? Are you constantly receiving God's word? In other words, God is speaking all the time. Are you hearing all the time? That's what it says. So is the door of your hearts constantly opening to hear the voice? So Jesus interprets this parable for us because it's so important. Now, by the way, this is one of the few parables he actually gives the meaning to so that we can understand the rest of the parables for which he doesn't give the meaning to. And so he asks us to say, I'm going to tell you how to interpret a parable, this one, the sower and the seed, so you can interpret the rest of the parables. All right? So he's teaching us by that how to discern the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing here. Secondly, he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you, and they're available to us, all right? So basically, only believers can consistently hear God because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He is a part of our being. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, he's with us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. All right, that's how we know what's going on. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You cannot understand, I cannot understand the things of God unless I understand by the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants to show us the secrets of the kingdom. And if you want to just, that word secrets, just put in the word truth. All right, the secrets are the truth. He wants us to see that. And so he's not just talking about just the Word of God, the Bible. He's not talking about just theology. He reveals himself throughout creation. All right, so for example, as a psychologist, he's listening to my heart all the time. So I don't want to counsel by my own wisdom or psychology. I counsel by the Holy Spirit. And so when I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me understand what's going on with this person, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do by myself. And that's why Sherry and I pray for our counselees before we see them. All right, now, this is true in a whole bunch of other areas, not just in counseling psychology. This is true in medicine. I wonder, Billy and Elaine have been praying lots, and we've been praying alongside of them. Do you think that some of the revelation that came when they went up there was because the Spirit of God gave the doctors revelation? I believe it's true. All right? There's economics. Boy, do we need the Spirit of God speaking economically in our country today. There's the environment. Oh, That's another whole thing. If they don't believe in God, they got this doomsday story about the environment. But God's got a different plan altogether for the environment. There's politics. Whoa. There's homemaking as well. We need the Spirit of God for those of you who are homemakers. All right, we need it for construction. We need it for farming. We need it for parenting. We need it for, what should we have for supper tonight? I don't know. Holy Spirit, you got a plan? He might well have a plan for supper tonight, all right? I'm talking, he's very practical, all right? Now, you also need the Spirit of God for, did that raise some kind of a problem between somebody and, all right? Also, personal decisions. How many times do you go to make a decision, you're not sure what to do, and why don't you just bring God in and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do, all right? Very good, all right? There's understanding relationship dynamics. Boy, I tell you, we're dealing with that in counseling all the time. And how many times if you just said, Holy Spirit, we've got some hurts in our relationship. We've got some challenges. We're asking you to speak to us. Can you help us untangle the stuff going on in our relationship? So as the parable suggests, people are given opportunity to enter the kingdom of God, but not always able to discern the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just distinguish between being born again and the kingdom. There's a difference. If you're born again, you're born in the Spirit of God. It's actually all God's work, it's not your work to be born again. He does it all. But to enter the kingdom, you have to participate. All right, you have to enter into with faith in that sense. All right, so that's moving on here. I've probably not been paying attention here. Okay, so therefore consider carefully how you listen. So Jesus is actually giving us a warning here in verse 18. He talks about, I got ahead of myself here. Hang on. All right. So he's given us a warning here to be able to pay attention to hear all the time. Now, do you know that there's things going all the time in your mind, and the question is, are you listening? Now, in psychology, we refer to it as continuous flowing consciousness. All right, let's give you a little illustration here, all right? Right now, your mind is thinking of things. Now, maybe you're following and tracking with me, and maybe you're not. Maybe you drifted over here. Maybe I said something that made you just go over here. Oh, now you got to come back in and pay attention, all right? That's the way we work. Now, you ask yourself, what are you aware of right now? Think about it. You're thinking, right? You're hearing right now. What are you aware of? And by the way, if we had the capacity, we had a radio here, there's radio waves in here as well. There's TV waves in this room as well. All of that's going on. It's part of it, all right? Now, can you distinguish between the conglomeration of your own thoughts, positive and negative memories, emotions or feelings, and the voice of the Holy Spirit? Can you distinguish between those things? Because all of that's happening to us right now. And so we need to pay attention to Jesus' warning, which is consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. Now, not everybody is a good listener to the Holy Spirit, but we can be because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, let me take you through the sower and the seeds, and I'm going to put in an interpretation on it that may be somewhat different from what you've heard before. There are four types of discerners, or if you want, four types of soil or four types of ground in this very common parable. All right, now, in each of the four types, we see how to discern, how to listen, how to understand, and how not to. All right, and you're going to see that as we go through that. So Jesus uses the analogy of planting seeds, and it's basically very common to a lot of people who've done farming. Some of you are in the business of farming. And so it's something his listeners will be familiar with. And in fact, while he's teaching, there may have been a guy carrying a bag of seed going like this. We don't know that. But it's possible that as he was teaching, this farmer comes out and he says, oh, all right, look, this is what's going on. Now, let me talk to you about these four types of soil, or four types of discerners, if you want. So there's unprepared discerners. These are discerners who hear the Holy Spirit in a very faint way. They can hear it, but very faint. Now, if the ground in our hearts is not plowed up, is not working up, broken up, etc., we're not ready to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. how many times have you, in desperation, heard the Holy Spirit where you couldn't hear him before? So just as this is Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, this is the meaning. Now, this is Jesus interpreting the parable he just shared. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. So the enemy's at work all the time trying to deal with this. All right? He doesn't want them to hear. Now, I have met these people various times in counseling. All right? They're in pain, they're in difficulty, they're coming because they're frustrated, but they're not really broken. They're not really ready to receive. And I can tell, as I'm going through and sharing our counseling with them, I can tell that they're not yet really receiving this. All right? They're still self-sufficient. They're still independent. There's still an element of pride operating. I can take care of myself. I'm fine. All right? And so you can't get into their lives because their confusion is masked by a pride or a self-sufficiency that says, I can handle things. I'm okay. Right? Now, they can hear this faint voice of the Holy Spirit, but they won't allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to their attention. In order to get us ready to hear, the Holy Spirit often, not always, but often has to take us through great difficulties to humble us, to break up the hard soil, to break up the hard ground of our hearts, to make us desperate, in order to be able to show our need, our absolute need of him. I've been there in my life more than once. All right? Now, I'm not saying that all difficulties are the result of hard hearts. I'm not saying that. All right? But lots of times you'll find that the reason we have difficulties is because our hearts are hard. So I'm asking this morning, where are you this morning? How desperate are you to hear his voice? Or are you just fine with getting along without his voice? I'm okay. I'm fine. And for a lot of us, and for portions of my life, I'm fine. I'm okay. But that's why we're not hearing, because we're not ready to hear. All right? So the voice of the Holy Spirit is so faint, we don't recognize its importance in speaking to our hearts. So then we move on to rootless discerners. Those are unprepared discerners. These are rootless discerners. In verse 13, these are discerners who hear the Spirit's voice, but not the whole message. All right? They hear part of it, but not the whole thing. Rootless discerners come to God out of need, and they're full of joy when God meets their needs. Ever been there? I have. All right? So they're glad to hear the Holy Spirit because it meets their current needs, and they praise God, we thank him, we're grateful for that. But when times of testing come, then we don't hear as well. And that's what it says in Luke 8. Those on the rock, where the seed falls on the rock, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. And do you relate to that one at all? Again, I do. All right? So when times of testing come, we have to ask ourselves, what's going on? All right? So in times of testing, God does not answer immediately. And we say, oh God, where are you? I'm desperate. I want to hear, but I can't hear you. All right? So are we wanting God to meet our immediate needs? And if he doesn't, sometimes God is silent. Have you noticed that? Sometimes God is silent. And he's asking us to actually pursue him further than we have before. So testings and struggles, etc., are what God puts in front of us to find out if we're ready to receive his word and not just get our needs met immediately. And so we have to, in a sense, in these times, listen more carefully. And that's why God often takes us through failures, difficulties, and even in areas of sin, he allows us to fall into our patterns of sin so that we can discern the difference between the Holy Spirit and just getting our needs met. All right, now, verse 6 points out to us that rootless discerners die for lack of moisture. One of the things in the New Testament, moisture refers to water or refers to the Holy Spirit meditating on the Word of God, understanding the whole counsel of God versus I just want to get my needs met. All right, so God is often after things much more than we realize. I'm happy with this. If God meets my needs, I'm fine. But God is after more. Jesus said in John 7:37, if any man is thirsty, let him come after me and I will give him something to drink. Come after me and drink. All right. Crucial to being hearing the Holy Spirit and drinking daily from the Word is drinking daily from the Word of God. If I only come to God when I'm desperate, I really don't hear that well. So one of the reasons we read our Bibles on an ongoing basis is because God often surprises us and speaks to us through the Word on an ongoing basis. Let me encourage you in that. And now we move on to immature discerners in verse 14. These are discerners that hear the Holy Spirit's voice, but they don't retain it. They hear the voice, but they don't retain it. So in Matthew 6, oh, first of all, in this passage in Luke 8, pardon me, the Spirit, the seed that fell among thorns, stands for those who hear, but as they go their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Now, for some of us, that's where we are. That's where it fits, all right? So Matthew 6, just some more passages to tie into this. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life more important than food? Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? We could read that over and over again, that one. All right. So, but first, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, we need to go over that passage a few times, right? All right. Now, so we can actually often be captured by the peripherals of life. I'm concerned about this, concerned about this, concerned about this, concerned about this, and we stop hearing the voice of God because we're concerned about all the stuff happening around us. We become too busy with the good things of life and the important things and the necessary things that we don't actually hear God. Does this remind you of two sisters in the Bible? Mary and Martha. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha's busy in the kitchen, all right? Now, by the way, if the Spirit of God is in the kitchen, go to the kitchen, all right? But if as in Mary and Martha's case, Martha was too busy trying to get ready and bless Jesus with hospitality when the issue right now was sit at Jesus' feet. Don't worry about food right now. It's a peripheral. The important thing is to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, we can put responsibility, as important and as good as that is, ahead of God, and we can fail to take time to hear the Holy Spirit. Oh, guilty. All right. Any other hands? Two of us, at least two of us. Anyway, three. I see those hands. All right. Now, look, I'm aware that I'm a very responsible person. It's one of my character traits, but it has a negative side, doesn't it? And that's that sometimes my wife spends more time in the Word often than I do. All right? And so I appreciate that about her very much. But there are times when the Holy Spirit says, relax, Graham. Take some time with my Word. Take some time with me. Now, we can go to the other extreme and function out of irresponsibility. Irresponsibility is don't tie me down to any commitment. I just want to be able to go with the free flow. I'm just a free spirit. So that's called irresponsibility on the other side. Or perhaps we've not even known what we've missed of the Holy Spirit's voice simply because we're just too busy. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to me right now. Okay. So we remain immature believers because of our lifestyle choices. All right. And so this is what happens, is that the mundane robs us of the profound. The mundane of everyday life, and I say I'm preaching to myself now, robs us of the profound truth of God to go deeper and deeper. Now, all of us know that we need to make time for things that are important. Years ago, when Dwayne Harder, who's my spiritual father, he said to me, I was teaching me some things and working on some things, and he said, I want you to do this. And I said, Dwayne, you don't know how busy I am. I'm working at the college full time as a psychologist, and I said, and I'm also pastoring a church. I just don't have time. And oh, he says, you're right, Graham. You're absolutely right. You don't have time. He let me off the hook. No, he didn't. He said, Graham, we never have time. We make time. Oh, did that hit right here? And I've never forgotten that. So when I get too busy, the Holy Spirit says, you're not making time for me, Graham. And I agree. Now, often we have to confess that life's worries or riches or pleasures have choked out the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm as guilty as you in terms of that. And I just say, Holy Spirit, give me time to spend time and relax with you and rest with you. And then we come on to the last type of ground, fertile ground, persevering discerners. These are discerners who hear the Holy Spirit and they walk out the truth. They walk in the discipline and the obedience of what God has asked them to do. Now, the seed that is on good ground, it says those people who have good soil in their hearts have good and noble hearts. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's work. He does that preparation, even that. Now, I would suggest to you, even with us having noble hearts, sometimes we also have deceitful hearts, because Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can even know it? So while I have at times, various times, I had a noble heart, Holy Spirit says, don't get too proud of your noble heart, Graham. I gave it to you. All right? That's where you got it from. So he's the one who makes us receptive to his voice by wooing us. He woos us. He draws us. He says, come on, come on, spend time in my presence. Come on, spend time with me. And unless we resist him, he's constantly doing it. He's doing that to all of us today. He's doing that to me. All right? So he makes our hearts receptive, but our job is to respond carefully to what he's doing so we can retain it, so we can buy into it and get a hold of it. Now, persevering discerners want to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit above everything else. That's what's going on there. Above everything else, I want to hear God and hear Jesus. So they won't give up in the midst of failure. They won't give up in the midst of busyness. They won't give up in the midst of struggle. They want to hear God's voice. And even when they fail to hear it, they come back in obedience and say, I missed this, Father. I got too busy. I want to hear it again. And so there's a place, by the way, for repentance and coming back and saying, I'm back in your place. I'm back with you. Now, I want to say this. This is what he says. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, notice that word, by persevering, they produce the crop. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit makes our hearts receptive. He's calling us. He's wooing us. He's drawing us. He's doing it all the time. He did it this morning. Did you hear him? Did you spend time with him? He's doing it all the time. All right. Now, this is part of this coming back to God again and again. Persevering discerners will not give up. All right. They will not give up until, by the grace of God, the ability to hear the Holy Spirit is established in them. Sorry, I forgot to put that up. All right. Persevering discerners will not give up until, by the grace of God, the ability to hear the Holy Spirit is established in them. They're simply not going to give up. Now, Luke's account, which we're reading out of, Luke 8, Matthew's account of this same story is a little bit different, because there it says that they were, the seed talks about 30, 60, 100-fold crop response, or a response to the crop. So it's like there's a learning curve. So just to give you a bit of a break, right? We don't learn it all at once, but there's a learning curve. And I'm aware of that as an educational psychologist, I'm aware of that. So our part in the work of hearing the Holy Spirit is to persevere. Don't give up. Don't quit. And so in faith, we want to hear the Holy Spirit. So one of the things you can tell them is, I don't hear you very well. I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice. All right? So we humble ourselves daily before God, seek his face, to hear his voice, and we're being trained to produce a crop 30, 60, 100-fold. Now, it's a training process for all of us, all right? And so our part is hearing the Holy Spirit. I sense the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have to go to someone else. I sense the Holy Spirit is saying this to me. Do you think this is correct? All right, that's the advantage of having spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, all right? Or someone else you can go to, and so you can, in that process. Now, how are we going to use this? How do we use this discernment? All right, Jesus actually tells another parable to illustrate this parable, all right? So he's telling two parables in one, all right? So this is the story. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it. Oops, pardon me, hang on. Pushed it too many times. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar and puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts on a stand so those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So Jesus wants us to bring light into the darkness. That's what he wants us to do. The purpose of light is to expose, all right? Now, it's not, we don't notice. Did you notice the light when you walked in here today? I'll bet none of you noticed the light. If, however, we turned all the lights off, and even with the windows, you said, why don't we turn the lights on? Then you become aware of the need for light. We seldom notice the light unless it's absent. But when the light is absent, so is perception. When the light is absent, so is, I'm going to kill myself here, so is perception. So Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. Simply put, you can't understand anything from the scripture without the Holy Spirit and without the Spirit of Jesus. You can't. All right. Psalm 36 verse 9 also says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. It's not possible to see light without him. So if we don't hear him speaking by his Spirit, we will walk in darkness. We will walk in foolishness. We'll walk in the ways of the world. Paul comments on this in this passage, for there is nothing that is hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought up into the open. Actually, that verse kind of scares me. Anyone else get a little nervous about that? All right, and the fact is that God he brings light in for the purpose of exposing things and seeing things. All right, so Jesus wants us to bring light into the darkness. Now, Jesus also wants us to use the light we have. All right, so lest any of you think that it's beyond us to begin with, we have to continue to walk in this discernment. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something we need to continually get. And that's why I think it says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. Now, that's another very disconcerting statement that Jesus makes. Jesus makes it, not me. So those who want to discern the Holy Spirit, if you discern, if you use it, guess what? You get more. If you don't use it, you lose it. All right? Very simply, use it or lose it. And that's what he's saying. Now, that's true in the spiritual realm, all right? And that's always our starting point. You use what you have. Now, I don't want anyone to feel bad about what I'm saying. I'm just trying to encourage you to be able to say, if I don't have it, how do I get it? How do I get it is by using it, and then I get more. That's what it's saying. And so our discernment, we persevere in discernment. That's what we do, all right? In the same way that some of you speak two or three, maybe, languages here. I only speak one, not all that well, actually. But I only speak English. When I go to other countries, one of my challenges is I have to have a translator, or I have to speak in English. Now, the fact is, if you have two languages and you don't use the second language, what happens? You lose it. My oldest sister, Judy, and her husband, Dan, were missionaries in Colombia for about 8 years. And their young boys at the time were raised there, and they learned Spanish as well as English. All right? But in time, they went back to Canada, and in time, they lost Spanish. In other words, they can understand it to a degree, but only to a degree. Because they don't use it, they lose it. Now, this is how we hear the Holy Spirit. We use it. We get revelation, and then we use it. We get revelation and we use it. We get revelation and use. If you don't use what you have, you are going to lose it. It's true in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. Now, Jesus wants us to persist in this. He says in Luke 8, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, hey, your mother and brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. Jesus replies, interesting, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Jesus himself said that, all right? Now, those who have been in relationship with Jesus a long time can begin to understand that they need to do that. Long-time Christians sometimes become presumptuous Christians, all right? And I've been there as well myself, all right? So we presume that we know him, but I want to tell you this, if we stop being obedient to him, we lose it. Obedience has to go on. We don't have a choice. Today I can be obedient, next week I'm fine, today I can be obedient. It's not that case, all right? We want to continually be obedient. So how we respond in obedience to the discernment we have makes the difference between how kind of crop we're going to produce. Now, Matthew does give us the 30, 60, 100. Luke just gives us 100-fold, all right? So if we are going to be discerning and not obedient, we're going to lose that discernment. So discernment plus obedience gives me more capacity to hear more, to learn more, to take on more. So if we're faithful in little, this is another thing Jesus said, you'll be faithful in much. If you're faithful in little and discerning little, you'll be faithful in discerning much. All right. So I want to get as close to 100-fold crop as I can, because one day you and I will stand before Jesus and give an account. And I really want to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So, let me ask this in concluding. How's your prayer life? Now, I'm not talking about how's your prayer life this way. I'm also talking about how's your prayer life this way. All right? So, are you hearing God? And are you speaking and listening to terms? Are you in speaking and listening terms with God? That's what it's asking. So I just want to give you an encouragement this morning. Prayer is more than just our petitions going that way. Prayer is also listening and hearing what he's saying down this way. How are we discerning the Spirit of God? How well are we discerning the Spirit of God? All right. Jesus actually gives both a warning and an encouragement here. So the warning is this: all of us are in danger of missing the voice of God. We're all in danger of that. Why? Because if we don't have tender hearts prepared to respond to him, like that, the hard ground, then we're going to miss it. All right? If we seek his voice only to get our own needs met, then it's peripheral, we're going to miss it. If we allow life's worries, riches, pleasures, many other things to choke out, we're going to miss hearing the Spirit of God. All right? And I can relate to all of those, all right? But he also says, on the positive side, everybody here who's born again can hear the Spirit of God, and we can hear the Holy Spirit because he lives in us. So if we have the Holy Spirit, we can hear his voice. We're all able to hear his voice. We may not be discerning it well, but we're capable of doing that. And so I want to just finish with a little bit of practice, all right? Give you a chance to put into some practice here. So why don't you just close your eyes, or if you pray with your eyes open, then you can keep your eyes open. If you just close your eyes and just take some time and say, okay, Father, you're speaking something to me. I know he is. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Ask him that personally. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? Am I missing some things? Am I missing discernment? Am I too busy? Is my heart hard? Am I just trying to get my own needs met? What are you speaking this morning? I want to hear you this morning. Now, listen to him personally. All right? What is God saying to you personally? Now, I suggest to you, if you know there's some things in the way, just simply say, Lord, I surrender again this morning. I surrender my heart. I surrender my will. I surrender my affections. Surrender my needs. I surrender all the things that get in the way of discerning your voice. I just surrender again this morning because I want to hear your voice. And I want to discern it, and I want to understand what you're saying, because I want more growth. I want more development. And so you have to tell. That's up to you before you and God. Now, Father, I want to close by praying for discernment. I ask you for myself, that you would continue to give me discernment to hear your voice, to understand clearly what you're doing in my life, who you want me to speak to, how you want me to operate, how you want to love my wife, how you want to love my child, how you want me to counsel what you give me. I want to hear more. At the same time, Father, I'm asking for that gift of discernment for all of us. I'm asking, Father, where we've gotten too busy, we've just become hard, we've become peripheral, other things have become more important. And so I'm asking, Father, to increase a hunger for your presence. I'm asking, Father, increase the discernment we have. And I'm asking, Father, that this would not just happen today, but tomorrow and the next day, keep rooting us into you, that we would love hearing your voice and would respond to your voice, and we would respond to the challenges you give us in your voice. And we'll hear as well how much you love us and care for us and are watching out for us and directing us. So I thank you for all these things. I ask for a spirit of discernment to be released this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Graham. Just want to hear, is there anybody that heard a special word for us when you're praying or asking the Holy Spirit? So if there is, Graham already closed with prayer, so no problem. That's great. Thank you very much, Graham. Thanks a lot for that word. That was good. That was really good. Appreciate that. So if there's anybody that does need prayer, there's going to be people up here that'll pray for you, and with that we'll dismiss everybody. So God bless you and have an awesome Sunday.